Good afternoon and welcome to the Hylent Podcast. This is host Matt Hylent
and Jeff Lump here. Today we have Steve Gross with us, who is on our property risk advisor team. So thank you, Steve, for joining us today.
Yeah, great to be here.
Well, one of the things we'd like to do when we first kind of get started here is maybe just ask you to give us a little bit of background on yourself and really how you came to join the Hylent team.
Yeah, so I am a mechanical engineer by degree. Started out my career with Factory Mutual, who like most people know is a big property insurance carrier that's very engineering focused. And Factory Mutual, I was a field engineer. I worked there for 6 years doing inspections at various clients. I think I averaged somewhere around 150 site inspections a year. So you can imagine through the course of 6 years, you get exposed to a lot of different industries and you see a lot of risks. And in that capacity, I learned all about the engineering standards that would apply to property risk issues, both from the traditional perils like fire and explosion, but also natural hazards and operational risk. After FM, I went to Marsh, where I spent almost 20 years at Marsh as a risk advisor. For primarily large multinational clients, did a lot of work, not only domestically, but around the world, which that helped expose me to the differences in codes and standards as they relate to different parts of the world, cultural issues that impact on property risk. And again, got exposed to all sorts of different industry sectors and experiences. But really, once I got on the brokerage side of things, I started behaving a little bit more as an advocate for my clients, helping them solve the problems associated with property risk. Came to Hylent 3 years ago, and now obviously working with smaller middle market clients. It's a little more challenging sometimes because the risks don't really change, but it's not uncommon that we don't have a designated risk manager. I'm dealing with CFOs and treasurers and the people that own the insurance function typically are the folks that I talk to on the risk function as well. So we have to make sure that we're educating those people and that they understand what they're dealing with in the property risk world. Most people don't get an education on sprinklers and fire protection, so I've got to help them out with that.
That's right.
Certainly. It seems like you've got to do a little bit more with a little bit less on the client side there. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what your typical engagement looks like now that you're here at Hylent and working with some of these middle market type groups.
Yeah, so I preach the concept of managing change. So with a lot of my clients, they're operating in the manufacturing space. They're constantly looking for ways to be competitive and to save money. Things like energy efficiency, environmental regulations, lean operations, those are a reality that all of our clients are dealing with. But embedded within that are issues that are going to impact their property risk. And what I try to do is make sure that we've got an ongoing conversation to help them identify where they might have some of those property risks that they weren't aware of. And then come up with treatments and mitigation solutions that fit well with their otherwise overarching business strategy. Managing change. It's an ongoing thing, but there's a lot of competing agendas. So the folks that are trying to gain energy efficiencies and make the operation more lean, they're not going to be thinking about what they might be introducing in terms of property risk. And there's all sorts of examples that we're seeing in industry right now where that pops up and people don't really think that they've introduced something new. The one of the most obvious ones is the proliferation of plastic products everywhere. Mm-hmm. Most people might not understand that plastic burns a lot hotter and it's a lot more dangerous from a fire protection standpoint than your traditional wood, paper products. So when you introduce plastic into any kind of an operation, any kind of a facility, you're adding a fire challenge that might not have been there previously.
Right.
So those are things, from a managing change perspective that we can get ahead of and help our clients understand and then apply treatments and risk mitigation solutions at the point of change, so that it doesn't cost them a lot of money down the road retrofitting and putting in expensive protection systems.
Yeah, no, we've talked about this in the past on different podcasts as well, but it kind of comes back to, you know, our client engagement strategy that really delivers us the opportunity to really continue to stay in front of things with our client as we continue to, hear and understand the new changes in the companies and what they're trying to do from a strategic standpoint. If things like that, new product lines or new operational changes are going to come into place, that's where it's so critical that we have resources like you who can come to the table and help them think holistically on what they need to do to make sure they're doing the right thing for the whole company, not only from a safety standpoint, but from an insurable standpoint too. I mean, there is direct ROI off of what you do on a day-to-day basis as well. And sometimes when you're just dealing with the CFO, that's all they care about, when they're necessarily thinking of the bigger picture sometimes.
Right.
So
right.
That's, I'm sure, a challenge for you as well. Maybe you can even give us an example of one of the emerging property risks that maybe is posing challenges to our clients today.
Yeah, this is a good example of where those competing agendas can sometimes cause a problem that a client really didn't intend. And, the example I like to give is a lot of manufacturing industries. I mean, we're sitting here in the Midwest. A lot of people are using combustible oils, whether it's lube oils or cutting oils or hydraulic oils. These aren't necessarily particularly hazardous fluids on a regular day. And traditionally, if you go back 15 or 20 years, those would show up at the plant in a 55-gallon metal drum, which was a very robust container, and there was a lot of protection schemes in place to make sure that product in that particular container was protected. Well, you fast forward to today's world, and you've got procurement folks and supply chain people who are going out there trying to find economies of scale, and they discover that they can buy the same oil in 300-gallon plastic totes, and it's less expensive and it's easier to ship. The problem is when you bring that same product out into the plant, plastic tote, it's got a much more significant risk profile than it previously had, a nice stout metal 55-gallon drum. And so all of the gains that you've achieved from the supply chain and the procurement standpoint might go away, because now you have to provide all sorts of additional protection to make sure that if you lose the contents of that tote, and it spills out on the floor, and you've now got a pool fire that's over 2,000 square feet large, you're in the process of burning your plant down. And that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I'll say.
And that requires a lot of expensive protection systems, some of which really aren't even approved or recognized. But it was an unintended consequence of what was an otherwise, really a good idea. So those are the kinds of things that we try to work with our clients about and make sure that they have an opportunity. And Jeff, you talked about the client engagement strategy. We've got regular touch points with our clients, and that's what I like about the Highland model, is that we're constantly talking to our clients to make sure that they understand we're here to help them out, to answer their questions, to understand the nuances of the changes that they're implementing and how they might impact their business in ways that they didn't really intend,
right?
Both positive and negative. So there's all sorts of other things that are happening. I mean, as it relates to products, I talked about plastics, a lot of things that relate to lean manufacturing and energy efficiency and environmental issues that kind of cross over into my world, and we've got to try to stay ahead of those things, which is an ongoing challenge,
right?
Yeah, certainly those are some of the issues that the businesses are bringing on themselves, right, by kind of acting in silos, which is a theme that's come up multiple times. But Mother Nature is also changing quite a bit these days. We've got more unpredictable swings in weather, catastrophic, events happening. Could you maybe talk a little bit about what impact that has on the property risks of our clients?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a growing issue, a very frustrating issue to deal with because Mother Nature is becoming increasingly difficult to predict, and the consequences of some of the natural hazard events are becoming a lot more severe. So clients that have operations in places that previously weren't a concern, the most obvious and kind of compelling example is down in the Houston area during the Harvey storms. The rainfall was unprecedented, and people that didn't think they had any kind of a flood exposure found themselves under a lot of water, and they weren't prepared for it. And, you know, one of the most important things to do when you're dealing with natural hazards exposures is to number one, have an awareness, but more importantly, to prepare for those issues. There's a lot that can be done from a preparedness standpoint to make sure that, you know, when the storm comes, when the flood happens, when the earthquake occurs, that your facility and your people are ready to respond, that they have the resources necessary to respond, and that they understand what that natural hazard is going to do to their operation. So as Mother Nature is changing, we've got to be aware and sensitive to some of those things that historically may not have been a concern, but now they're back on the radar. Mm-hmm. And we've got to pay attention to it because the planning and the preparation takes time. Once the storm is coming, it's usually too late and you don't have the ability to make good decisions.
No, that's a good point. You know, it Mother Nature just kind of also triggers me to think through. We'd be remiss not to talk about, frankly, just how the market is performing today on the property side, because obviously Mother Nature over the past couple of years has certainly led to the impact, a good chunk of the impact of some of our larger carrier partners who really just took a kind of a beating over the years through some significant losses, and as a result have in a quick hurry have really done some interesting things out there that's really changing the, I guess, call it the soft market that we've all been enjoying for the past several years to what could be a very rapid hardening market. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
It's an excellent point, and you're absolutely right. The losses that we have seen in the natural hazards world are causing problems in the overall property insurance markets. And as things tighten up, it's becoming really important that our clients understand how to represent their property risk profile in a balanced way. One of the differences between me as a property risk advisor, a loss control engineer within Highland, compared to an insurance company engineer, is that the insurance company engineer is going to go out to our clients, you know, once a year, maybe once every couple of years, do a quick tour, write up a report that's primarily going to include just recommendations for improvement. It's going to be a very deficiency-based report, and they're going to go away. That's an important function, and it helps to identify risks and make sure that we're staying on top of the exposures that are out there. But it's far from the total solution. So where I come in and how I behave differently is to, again, be an advocate for our clients so that, number one, we're making sure that any of those issues that were identified by the insurance carrier's engineer are accurate and are represented in the full context of the company's business. In your previous podcast with Dave Norris, you talked about silos and how a lot of people in the same company sometimes they have to be brought together to talk about risk issues in a more holistic manner. The same is true of property risk issues. And if you just take the deliverable from a visiting loss control engineer from the insurance companies and you look at that one report from that one day and time that he was at your plant, and you use that for your full basis of your risk profile, you're really doing yourself a disservice. Mm-hmm. Because meanwhile, there's all sorts of stakeholders within that client organization that need to bring information to bear on what's written down in that report, including the information that's not listed there. So folks like the IT people, because operations are increasingly computerized, logistics folks. I talked about the example with the oil storage and changing of a container and how that can have implications. Facilities engineers and maintenance people, they a lot of times have really good information that can impact on a risk issue at a plant. All those people have to be consulted and brought together to come up with the right solutions. And then that information's got to be shared and captured and brought back to the insurance markets so that they understand that it's not just that list of deficiencies that represents the client. It's all these other good things that are also happening.
Right. Well, I think that's probably the best point we can make. I mean, I think sometimes our clients may not realize really all that goes into underwriting. And it is our job not to just be submitting applications and trying to get the approval. It is to build the case on behalf of the client that any of these risks that maybe are identified, here are the things that we're really doing to mitigate those risks. And, you know, how are we actually going to turn this client into a really safe environment for their employees as well, and also protect their assets? And I think that's where, you know, again, kind of going back into the market hardening, it's our opportunity right now to make sure that we're identifying the clients that we have today and the prospects, frankly, that are out there, that where are they today from an overall risk perspective? And what things could we be doing now proactively to get in front of any kind of, I guess, concerns that could come down the pipe later to make them the strongest risk that they can be? Because there's clients today that have benefited from the good market conditions that when the market starts to harden, they are either going to be, frankly, just kicked out because they were never a good risk. They just happened to be getting good rates at the time. Or we've got to help be able to prove that they are as good as they are.
And that last point is important. That's the part that, unfortunately, through the course of a soft market tends to happen, where the reporting is not, it's not complete, it's not balanced. There's a lot of reporting on deficiencies, but not necessarily a lot of information gathered and shared about positive aspects. And so now we've got to do a little bit more work to capture those positive aspects. The good news is, you know, the Highland model, that's really what that's what we stand on, that's what we always preach. You know, once you engage the client, we can again act as their advocate and make sure that information is pulled out and given credit for as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really what I've gathered through the conversation is you have to keep property risk top of mind across the organization, and you need to pull in the right people when you're discussing it. But is there anything else you would leave, you know, one piece of advice as we kind of wrap up here?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I tell people, and it's, I've always told them this, but now more than ever with the market hardening and conditions tightening up, it's important that clients own their information. And what I mean by that is if the full manifestation of their property risk profile involves simply a loss control engineering report, then we've got some work to do, because that's not going to fairly represent their interests and their operations. So we've got to encourage them to find ways to pull the information out of their organization from all those stakeholders that I referenced and make sure that we're getting credit for the good things that they're doing to supplement the information that might be provided from the insurance carriers. Mm-hmm. And as they own that information, it serves two purposes. First of all, it gives us what we need to get them a fair shake in the marketplace. But also it helps us to educate them and identify areas where they should be spending more time, where they might have some easy opportunities for improvement. So it becomes a dialogue that feeds on itself, and they'll make sure that the proper stakeholders get more and more involved. You know, Matt, to your point, it brings the whole issue of property risk front of mind, as opposed to something that's just dealt with one time a year during an inspection.
Right. Nope, I couldn't agree more. And I'll tell you, obviously, you know, we are blessed to have someone with your level of expertise here at Highland. And I think our clients would agree, and those who haven't had the opportunity to meet you, hopefully will meet you soon. So I will wrap it up here and just say on behalf of Matt and I, thank you for taking the time. And we will call it a day. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank you. It was great to be here. I enjoyed the talk.
All right.